What's up, champs? Welcome to another episode of the Short Shifts Fantasy Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Keeping Carlson. I'm your host, Jeremy Rosillo. Joining me tonight, my pal and yours, Shams Benamor. Shams, how are you doing tonight, to this hat-trick-filled night, as I am wearing my Kraken hat and I have just tossed it behind me, because we already have two hat tricks and we aren't even through the early games of the night.
Yeah, and the craziest part is one of them was basically, I think it was 10 minutes. I think it was like 10 minutes and 50 seconds into the game. Logan Cooley has one. And then also, I believe it was like late in the game, even maybe like close to just like a late game tie. We have Celebrity. So we're always talking at the start of the season or draft season of like, how high do we need to take these young centermen? Well, I guess we maybe should have taken them higher with the way they're going off so far.
Celebrini's was actually late second period tie, so he's got more game too. The funny thing about that is I was looking on Money Puck, and Celebrini is getting caved in Corsi, despite the fact that he has a hat trick. Like, he's got 40%. The top line of Celebrini, Smith, and Toffoli is at 30%. It's like, wow. I guess you're just making the most of your opportunities. We'll talk more on that later, though. First up, let's get to our usual injury-outjury news. Stefan Nason returned for New Jersey. He had two hits in his first game, no points. He's playing on the second power play, not the first one. Do you think he's fantasy relevant this year? I know he's got a good Friday-Sunday coming up, so you probably have him on a roster, but are you interested?
I think this is going to be one of those wait and see. Maybe if you're like in the deepest of leagues, well, maybe not too deep because he's probably already rostered. But like, if you're hurting and you want to like take a risk, maybe. But I feel like he's been like out of the league or at least injured for such a long time. It might take a little bit of time to warm up. And I'd rather see him like at least on the third line. He's just been kind of playing just so few minutes that I would be a little tepid on playing him, but at the very least, have him on your watch list because we know back into his Carolina days, he finds his way onto a power play one. So just be ready to add him once his deployment or if his deployment changes.
He actually only played 8 minutes last night, which is really low. That might have been an easing him in type of thing, not a regular thing. Another guy who's returning to the lineup looks like Brock Besser is going to return tonight or did return tonight. Has their game started yet? They also shuffled up those Vancouver lines that I guess I'll just jump to that right now. Vancouver has Brock Besser playing with Max Sasson and Jake DeBrusque. Sasson is currently their second line center because Filippito's hurt. And then Pettersson centering Garland and Kane. Anything else to say about the Vancouver lines other than get Besser back in your lineup?
I think it really depends on how you felt about Kane, because I know like he was kind of the sexy like late game draft pick that, depending on how deep your roster is or where the rest of your team is, may have been dropped. So like, I'm not sure about schedule wise, but at the very least, he gets more interesting because he was like bottom line or like third line at best. And as you mentioned, with Sasson as your second line center, there's not much depth on the team, but Kane gets a little bit more interesting where, you know, say what you will about Pettersson, he is your best center. So the points are going to be a little bit more likely to happen if you're playing on the top line.
Yeah, that gives me a bit more interest in Kakupfel-style leagues, in heavier banger PIM-type leagues, which I don't consider Kakupfel a banger league, despite the fact that we give a quarter of a point for hits. I am in leagues that give more points for hits relative to stuff and also give penalty minute points. So those are banger leagues to me. So when I say banger league, I don't actually mean Kakupfel. I have always been interested in Kane in those because he's going to be good for, you know, two hits per game and like 100 penalty minutes on the season. With first line deployment, kind of interested in Kakupfel if he got dropped. I think Vancouver is coming off two straight 4-game weeks though, so I expect their schedule to kind of dip going forward. Maybe less interested. Who knows? Vancouver's kind of a mess right now, so maybe I'm overreacting both directions. On to another Canadian Pacific team. Zach Hyman was supposed to return for Edmonton on November 1st, was the original timeline given. Is that still holding true? I hear that there's some updates there.
So the nice thing is that whoever made that assumption on the team was pretty much on the dot, because basically the news is the coaches said that they're hopeful for him to return the first week of November and as early as the first. So basically, hopefully we haven't seen Wide yet, but hopefully he could just take that top spot and we'll see. We don't have to start worrying about the dance of the random wingers on McDavid's line, and we could just, whoever has Hyman could start just plugging it in, and hopefully he could see more of just points all around, because I know McDavid managers are probably thinking, I wish I took McKinnon first overall if I had the choice, but we'll see how Hyman plays, and hopefully it just kind of helps everyone's situation.
Have to imagine the Oilers as a whole, and obviously Connor McDavid will get right pretty soon. And hopefully those of you who drafted and stashed Zach Hyman will get some of that benefit. A less positive, I guess, injury update, I'll call it, is there is no timeline, no update on Joseph Woll, the goalie for Toronto. Craig Berube says when he's back, that's all I got. And he's not really in communication with the team. Shams, is there something more positive you've got here?
Well, sadly, it's something less positive. Negative, is that I'm not sure how this works, but he's also got put on LTIR today. So I don't know the ramifications. So we're talking on the Discord, so maybe he might just have, you know, oh, my knee hurts a little bit. I think I'm not sure of just like the joke, but like hopefully he's good health-wise. But this was actually a leave for personal reasons. And then now that he's on LTIR, there's this specter of a physical injury as well. So my guess is that because he's been gone so long, they could probably backdate the injury. So it doesn't really change the timeline, but it just kind of adds a little bit more of weirdness because, you know, personal reasons, we don't need to know what's going on with the players, just hope for the best. But this being on LTIR just kind of adds that extra weight of like, when is he back? Is he going to be 100% just physically as well?
Yeah, obviously wishing the best for Joseph Woll, both physically and mentally and emotionally. With the implications of LTIR, I think you kind of alluded to this. I don't think that actually affects things much from a when is he available standpoint, because they can backdate it to the last time he played, which I believe was partway through preseason. And as long as it's been 7 games and 24 days since then, he can just come right off. So I think they've basically hit the point where he could come off tomorrow if he rejoins the team. For now, Anthony Stolarz holding down the fort. That's probably the biggest fantasy implication of this, is that Stolarz is a true number one until he completely falters or Woll comes back and gets back into that split. Another goalie to talk about. Aiden Hill is now week to week after, I believe, a collision at the end of their last game. That's not great for Vegas, although their team's rolling. Even more bad news for Vegas. Stone got placed on LTIR, which means he's out through at least November 13th. And then Noah Hanifin is not on the road trip, which is the next 3 games, both this weekend and early next week. So you can't expect him back either. What's going on with the Vegas lines as a result of this? Anybody a big gainer here?
I think it's really right now is that Eichel just continues to be Eichel, just plays well with anybody. So right now it was Saad and Barbashev with him, and then they just kept the line of Dorofiev with Hurdle and Marner. So really what is happening is that with this and having Theodore back on power play one, so with the LTIR, that's probably going to stay the same unless something forces him to change. But however, they've been playing well, so I don't think anything is happening there. And then the interesting thing to keep in mind is that we'll see how long this week to week is, but it's kind of a interesting thing to keep in mind is that Vegas doesn't have this really busy schedule in the next few weeks. So they have a back-to-back this weekend, and then they only play twice next week. So technically, you could only be losing 3 games overall over 2 matchups with him gone. And then we'll see if it starts going further, what will happen. But of course, injuries suck, but you're not missing so many games of Aiden Hill if he's only out, say, 3 weeks.
That's true. He may get some of the rest needed. Akira Schmid will hold down the fort for now. I'm sure that's going to be plenty fine. Next up, let's look at, I guess there's one more injury to talk about, and that is Morgan Rielly, who was the power play one quarterback in Toronto, don't forget, is dealing with something Unknown if he plays Friday and Saturday this week. Ekman-Larsson took his spot on power play one in practice. Ekman-Larsson is just a average Joe, fine power play quarterback. I'd be interested for the Friday-Saturday stream if he's available and Riley doesn't play. Additionally, the Leafs had some new-look lines today with McMahon, Matthews, and Nylander, and then Nyes, Tavares, Michelli, and also Jake McCabe was on power play too, which I thought was quite odd. I don't think there's much to say here. Maybe a slight downgrade for Nyes. Maybe you want to be adding McMahon when you can. This is just Toronto's top six being their top six. I think they're going to continue to do well. What do you think?
It's just kind of the log life of the yo-yo of McMahon, because like he's been like, I think, literally on like every line on some of the games, because he'll like start at the top line, randomly be on the third, and then just get shifted around. So at least the coaching staff has showed that they're willing to shift things around. So like if you're in a league where you're like maybe not 100% set on playing like McMahon, just and you're thinking about just playing him just because of the deployment, it has literally this season like changed mid-game, so maybe I wouldn't be rushing to him unless you're willing to play with that variability.
McMahon is kind of interesting to me as a whole, because I think he maybe ends up being one of those weird third-line power play two guys who can hold standalone value. Like, he just shoots so much, he hits enough, and he seems to provide secondary scoring and get enough chances in the top six that maybe he is like somewhat relevant this year. I'd be hard pressed to hold him through weeks I'm not playing him, but he will definitely be one of those on again, off again roster guys that I'll stream, you know, 10 times throughout the year. Who was the guy I did that with last year? It was someone on Edmonton last year that I swear I added 10 times in 21 weeks. last but not least, for line changes, the Sharks stacked their top line. You have this in quotes because they put Toffoli, Celebrini, and Smith back together like it was last year. And they were set to do it again tonight. And apparently they just changed that mid-game because it looks like it's been Celebrini, Smith, and Eklund for most of the game, as at least that's how they've been scoring goals. So maybe the true stack is Eklund, Celebrini, and Smith. And maybe they finally figured that out as they are actually lighting up Igor Shesterkin tonight. I think they're up 6-4 right now. I kind of like the Sharks, whoever's playing with Celebrini. I think their power play one guys like Skinner and Wenberg are good for streams, especially they play tonight and then Friday, Sunday. Hopefully you were on top of that before this show. Anybody else from San Jose you're interested in or not interested in, Chimps?
I think really what it is, it's, to be overly simplistic, it's power play one forwards. In my opinion, that's really like that. So like really what it is that obviously you want to be on the Celebrini line. So Celebrini seems to be mostly doing it with anybody. Hell, Skinner was doing fine when he was with him. So like if you're on the top line, I'm interested in like, it's nice to see that Will Smith is back there because he was like banished to the third line, not even the second line when he was not there. So nice to see those two together. And then with Eklund, he goes up to like my third most interested forward, because honestly the way I look at it is that I personally, before like during draft season, I've had it as like Celebrini with a bullet number one, and then I actually had Toffoli as my second. But if Toffoli's gonna have to live on that second line and always see Celebrini exposure into the power play, I'm kind of curious now if Eklund and Smith, assuming that they stay up there, has the possibility to overtake them as the more interesting forwards, even if, you know, Toffoli is a more important player in, you know, real life hockey of actually playing well with like defensive responsibilities and anchoring that second line with like a Wenberg. But in fantasy's sake, I might be tempted to start thinking that Smith and or Eklund might have overtaken him from a fantasy standpoint.
I think Smith and Eklund are both ownable fantasy assets this season, to be honest. And by the way, that game is 5-5, not 6-4, as I originally stated before someone corrects me that the Sharks don't have six goals. Looks like Taylor Radish is another guy on hat trick watch today for the Rangers. But with that, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Football is back, and so is your shot at big wins with DraftKings Pick 6, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Your game day instincts can score you real money fast. Here's the play. Just pick more or less on two or more player stats, from breakout rookies to elite quarterbacks, and unlock the upside every snap brings. The better your calls, the bigger your payout. I'm looking at the site right now for the games on Monday, the 20th. Jay Smith. I'll try a different person. N. Collins. Nico Collins, 75.5 receiving yards. Okay, more or less? Is that a lot? Seems like a lot. Let's go less. How about another stat? What about Sam Darnold? I've heard of him. Yeah, okay. Quarterback for Seattle against Houston. Okay, rushing yards, 5.5. Is he going to have more or less than 5.5 rushing yards? You could do that in one play. He could do that. He's going to get more. You know, no guarantees. And hey, here's the kickoff bonus. New DraftKings customers get $50 in bonus picks with just a $5 entry on your first pick set. This season, play your player instincts. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN. Play just $5, get $50 in Pick 6 bonus picks. Make the call, ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable. Pick 6 bonus picks that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Welcome back, everyone. As I hinted before the break, we were on Taylor Radish hat trick watch. And guess what? We got a Taylor Radish hat trick while we were on our break. So that was actually the game tying goal, making it 5-5. It just hadn't popped up in my feed yet. That's now 3 hat tricks today. I wonder if anybody's rostering Cooley, Celebrini, and Radish. Kind of doubt anybody's rostering Radish right now. Let's talk about a couple hot players before we go tonight. You put in here Dawson Mercer Shams, 7 points in 8 games, playing with Meyer and Hischier, getting some power play one time, kind of been on and off with Meyer there. Not a ton of peripherals, but the deployment's really good, and Dawson Mercer was a heavily trusted member of that team at a young age. Do you think he's got a higher potential, or is this just a hot streamer?
Personally, right now, like, I'm not 100% set on keeping it, but I picked him up as a stream. And then taking a look at just kind of the ice time and the people he's playing with is making me tempted, because the interesting thing is it just depends on how valuable the points are to you. Because what I think is that right now, if you look at the game day tweets, is that he is technically on the third line right now because Cody Glass is injured and he's taking that third line center. But it is said to be short term, and I would assume that he gets back to the top six because he was playing so well there. So assuming that he gets back to the top six, is that being able to play with, like, honestly, certain teams, he sure and Meyer would be a top line. Just they have another good set of lines. So, like, I value him as, like, a top line player and top power play. Now, keep in mind, they did say it's going to be shifting around. So if you see him bump to the second, I wouldn't be like, oh, it's over, unless the coach says something different. So we always know he had the skill. It was really the deployment that just kind of made me not interested in him getting consistent points. So, but if he's been able to get, you know, an assist and it's not to like random bottom six guy, but it's going to Meyer who can get a goal and then change that shot assist to an actual assist, I can start seeing those points actually becoming something that's less a flash of a pan and more predictable.
I'm moderately interested. I agree that it's a bit deployment dependent. You know, if he keeps power play one, especially, I probably want him on my rosters. Just to throw a little bit of cold water on this, he's shooting 23% right now. His 5v5 team shooting percentage is 16%. His PDO is 1143, all pulled from Dabber Frozen Tools, so kind of mid-game live. I don't necessarily think he's all of a sudden taken a big leap from last year. Actually, his expected goals for per 60 is pretty much in line with last year. But again, that's per 60, so if you increase the deployment, that's a good thing. Here's a would you rather for you. Would you rather line 2 power play 1 Dawson Mercer, or line 2 apparently now power play, or line 1 now apparently power play 1 Emmett Finney?
I would doubt you're playing with my heartstrings as a Red Wings fan here, but personally, I would still go with Mercer, and it's more of a team play. Personally, is that really what the thing is that even technically, like, because right now, I believe, at least last when I checked, it was like 7-1 for the Islanders versus Detroit. So I'm not sure. Basically, as a fan, I'm paranoid that the shine is already off. They've lost what's going to be back-to-back games in somewhat ugly fashions, especially this game. So that whole deployment could be a mess. And then, like, in the end, I do like pedigree because, like, if I remember correctly, I don't know the exact draft pick, but I believe there was some sort of thought of, like, Mercer being at least more regarded than the seventh round Fitty, which, you know, we're talking about play now, but in the end, I think it's just more predictive of being able to play with a Heischer Meyer quality going forward, because I have a feeling with Cade out on Detroit and then also just kind of the injuries and just the play together, I don't know what Detroit's lineup's going to look like tomorrow.
You are correct. Dawson Mercer was a first-round pick, actually, 18th overall. I agree with you that I'm not sure if I'd say it shows more potential necessarily, but the way I'd phrase it is there's a lot more invested in Dawson Mercer than in Emmett Finney. So if they both go cold, Emmett Finney probably goes to the minors if he starts not keeping up with his teammates, while Dawson Mercer is going to get second and third and fourth chances and, like, has clearly proved himself already. So I agree that Mercer's the safer of the two options. I want the excitement of Emmett Finney, especially he's been hitting a ton too. He's a little spark plug. Like, he's really fun to watch. He reminds me of, actually, like, some of the guys on the Caps that used to play when they were in the cup run, like Devontae Smith-Pelly and Jason Chimera had a couple years there where he'd just go in and just be all over the place in the offensive zone. And it's, I actually think he's making that first line tick really well, but that's more of a excited to watch bias than a heady measured choice. Next up, you have the entire Pittsburgh line two, which let me remind you is Evgeny Malkin, obviously, Justin Brazeau, who, if you remember, is like 29 years old, was okay in Boston a couple years ago, played some of the year in Minnesota last year, but he was a much older guy who came in as like a 24, 25-year-old rookie, if I remember correctly, and seems to have found his footing. And Anthony Mantha, who I will call much maligned because it seems like every year he goes on a new team and has sky-high expectations and is kind of mid. But Malkin has points in 7 of 8 games, only shooting about twice a game. Brazeau's playing less than 14 minutes a game, but has 8 points in 8 games. And I believe that included like a long point streak to start the year that was kind of odd. And Mantha has similar ice time to Brazeau with 6 points, but is shooting more with about 2 shots a game. Is this just a PDO bender? I don't think the Penguins are good, right?
Yeah, I think really the only thing that I would add to that is that I think we're kind of on the same page, is that Malkin is on that top power play. So that is where I would say that, yes, hey, Pittsburgh's not the greatest, but you get to play with Sid and like the rest of the top line on that top power play. So I would still believe in Malkin as potentially a season-long hold, depending on how just hopefully we'll see if people get traded away and whatnot. But as long as the team's together, I have more trust in Malkin to be able to continue this point streak. And like he actually has the minutes to back it up. But I'm with you is that I'm not sure I'm seeing Brazeau and Mantha as like actual holds. But if they start like, you know, wavering, but like the fact is that they show they have the point potential is that so during streaming weeks or maybe a Sunday where you're just kind of scrapping for points to try to get like a Sunday savior. I know this team's not the greatest, but they at least have some sort of life that I would maybe like give them a look depending on streaming schedule or just kind of setup. But the only real one that I actually see as a long-term situation because of that power play time is Malkin.
I agree. I definitely see Malkin as a long-term hold at this point. He is looking actually kind of vintage. I think he just put up on a power play goal recently, his 10th assist of the season to go with 3 goals. He's on like 120-point pace, and shockingly, the percentages aren't that out of line. Like, his shooting percentage is 17.6. Okay, that probably should be closer to 13, especially if I'm shooting a bit less. His 5v5 shooting percentage is 11.6, which, again, is high but not insanely high. And his PDO's 1027, which is sustainable on a good year for good players. Now, do I really think Malkin is back to, you know, his mid-20s form? No. But there certainly is a bit of a renaissance here, and playing with Crosby on power play one and being able to drive his own line with new line mates. Yeah, he's the one I want. I'd be interested in Brazeau or Mantha for next week because they are one of the few teams that play Monday, and next week is a disaster of a streaming week, if I can opine on that a bit. It's my least favorite day of the year where all 32 teams play on Tuesday, I believe staggered throughout the day, which is great as a viewer, not fun as a fantasy manager when you have no choice but to leave points on your bench or roster injured players, but I don't know why you would do that intentionally. I just hate the randomness of having to pick winners and losers. I'm much more of a strategist where I try to make sure that I stream guys so that I don't leave other players on my bench. But oh well, it's one day out of the year. I will let the league have their fun, even though they decide to do it on a Tuesday instead of a weekend when more people can watch at 1 p.m. Whatever. The last hot streak is one that I added. Something that I don't do very often. I don't know when the last time we've done a goalie hot streak is, but Jakub Dobesh, the goalie for Montreal, may have flipped the script on Sam Montembeau. He's started three of the last five games, including the front end of the back-to-back. He's got a .950 save percentage on the season, 8.33 goals saved above expected, quality start in all of his starts this year, two steals, compared to Monty having an .857 save percentage, negative 4.45 goals against goals saved above expected, 25% quality start rate. If Monty struggles tonight, which I believe that game, I think they're up 2-0 or something in the first period. So like, I guess they're up 1-0 in the first period against Edmonton, but also it's Edmonton, so the goals can come in bunches. If Monty gives up 4 or 5 tonight, I wonder if this has totally reversed to a 1A, 1B with Dobesh being the 1A. Disclaimer here, I'm a huge fan of Dobesh. I was when he was in college. At the risk of sounding like Elon, I have him on multiple dynasty teams. So maybe that's where the hype's coming from. Why don't you temper me a bit here, Shams?
So really what the thing is that, you know, we always have to preface this with the whole goalies are random. I can't see the future. But the interesting thing to keep in mind is that we weren't really that high on Montembeau last year. He kind of flipped the script himself to become an interesting player. If I remember correctly, it was like not even like at the start of the season, like he may have been fine. It was not until like the Four Nations tournament where he started to really turn it on. So it is kind of understandable is that it's not like we're talking about someone that's like an established starter that had years of success. And that, like, you know, we're not talking, you know, every year we have to have the conversation of like Hofer and Binnington, even though like Binnington has like, you know, say what you will, he's like actually has history of being good. So this is kind of that situation where, you know, basically my brain says, if you see like, and this is, might be a situation where I might be a little bit more interested in taking Dobesh streams, depending on how your league is, because if he gets like 2 or 3 games in a row, be careful with the back-to-backs, but like that could be the hint where it finally flips. Cause it's not that interesting of like, basically they're going for the playoffs. They got the taste of it last year. They're not in, you know, develop mode. They're going to play to win. And if they have one goalie play clearly better, then they're going to play that guy. And right now it's Dobesh, but we have to wait and see if they actually commit.
I will say with Sam Montembeau, he's been impressively consistent under an increasing workload. Granted, he's only been a 901, 903, 902 goalie over the last 3 years, which I'd say is about league average at this point. I know back in the day, 909, 913 were league average save percentages, but teams are getting more selective with shots and the rate of scoring has gone up. So I think league average save percentage is like a 904 or a 905 right now. Last year, he ramped up, though, to 62 starts, which I think is why there was a lot of fantasy hype on him. There's not many 60-game starters in the league, and maybe people underestimated the pressure he'd be getting from the younger guys below him. He also was, in his defense, the fifth-best goalie in goals save above expected last year. So he actually was good by the numbers, at least. But yeah, I've always seen him as just a guy, kind of a Alex Lyon type placeholder for whoever the young guy coming up is. And honestly, I'm very interested if Dobesh continues playing as well as he has the past season and a half, and Jacob Fowler is the real deal, that being their second round draft pick from, I think, 2023, just turned pro last year and is starting in the AHL for them this year. That could be super interesting because they're going to have two goalies under 26 years old that are potential starters, and maybe one of them gets traded, maybe someone's available. But that's just me talking about some dynasty stuff. Shams, what do you have on this?
So I think I'm kind of on the same page, but like, we got some breaking news is that we already have Gostisbehere out for a period of time, and we just got news that Kronje Miller is not going to return to the game. So we'll have to wait and see on the how long-term it is, if it is long-term at all. So keep an eye on game day tweets. But the interesting thing to keep in mind is that I always look at just like the deepest of rosters that maybe no one should be picking these people up. But something I was noticing is that Mike Riley has, I know we joke, we brought him up, like, I think it was like the first episode of last season, but he is a guy that just somehow pops up. He has a couple of 3-shot games and a 5-shot game. So like, if he somehow sniffs power play one or gets power play 2 time, or maybe gets into a position of being a little bit more offensive situation, or just kind of just take a look at just kind of all of the, because they have a lot of defensive options on the team. I'm just using his as an example. It might be time to like watch list and just kind of follow along that defensive core, because they got a team now with like having Ehlers and Jarvis going off and, you know, Aho. So basically they don't have to carry the load. All they have to do is just get the puck to the forwards and to get that assist. So just kind of keep an eye out for that. And maybe we might have some, you know, old favorites becoming a little bit more rosterable, but it's more of a wait and see. But any chance I have to, you know, give a, you know, friend of the show, Mike Riley, a shout out, I'm going to give it.
That's not a bad call out if both of those guys are out longer term, because he'll at least jump onto power play too. I think for real though, it's Alexander Nikishin. Alexander Nikishin looking really good so far, and I'm assuming we'll be on power play one. I just checked and they haven't had a power play yet this game. Also point out that Miller didn't actually leave the game. He never even started it. It was sounds like they pulled him before the game with an injury. So we'll wait and see, because Keandre Miller was looking pretty good this year also. With that, I think we've used up all our time. Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed our show, please consider joining the Keeping Carlson Patreon group at keepingcarlson.com/patron. Super supporters receive ad-free episodes, and you can interact with Brian, Elon, Shams, myself, the rest of the Short Shifts crew, and hundreds of other talented fantasy managers on our active Discord server. Check out www.gamedaytweets.com to get all the best info from Twitter without having to slog through the rest of Twitter. It includes team-by-team and searchable tweets by player name. Visit that site and the other great sites we use to research our episodes with at Yahoo, Frozen Tools, and Natural Stature. Our intro and outro music was created by Pat Roach. Until we see you next time, play smart and keep your shifts short.